Good evening and welcome to our evening service. We thank the Lord that even in these unusual times, we can still come together and meet and worship via the internet together. I welcome you to the evening service, and let us start by singing hymn number 427, My Hope is in the Lord. And the words will be shown on the screen in a minute. Come before the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. A loving, eternal God, we bow our heads before thee, Lord, and come to worship and praise thy name. We come, Lord, humbly before thee, knowing who we are and who you are, the holy God, and we have to deal with you, Lord. We come before thee through the precious and holy name of our Savior and your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for your mercies. We thank you for your blessings, for what you have done for us. And we come, Lord, rejoicing. We bow our heads, we bow our knees before thee to thank you, Lord, for thinking of us, for loving us, for making a way for reconciliation through Jesus Christ. Lord, we come before thee and thank you, Lord, again and again for looking after us day by day as we have come through another week in this uncertain times. Yet, Lord, we have no worries because you art with us. You provide, you help, you guide. Lord, help us to be obedient, to surrender to thy will, to hear thy voice, to listen to you, Lord, and to surrender and accept you, Lord, as our guide and help. We pray, Lord, for our congregation, for each one at home. We pray, Lord, for their blessing, for their help. You know the needs of each one of us, Lord. We pray, Lord, for the sick and suffering. We think of Mrs. Fernandez. We think of Ron Blair. Lord, we pray that you strengthen them, even now at home. We think of others too, Lord. And we think, Lord, of those that are mourning. We think of our sister Grace and Alec Newell and Caleb. Lord, in the passing of Mrs. Schenck, Lord, we pray that you give them the oil of joy in this time. And we think of also the Devaperance, again, with the loss of Mrs. Ragini's mother. We pray, Lord, again, that you think of them and comfort them. We think also, Lord, of our country at this time with that virus, with that disease that is spreading around. We think, Lord, and ask for thy help to protect us, to keep us, put your arms surround us and keep us safe, Lord. We are unable to do anything, but we seek thy help. We think of our school, Lord, our students at home, unable to come to school. Lord, bless them at home and help the teachers as they provide the work from the internet. We thank you, Lord, for this way that you can, even in this unusual time, we have a way to reach out and meet with one another via the internet. All things work together for good. We thank you, Lord, for all your promises, for all your goodness to us. We pray, Lord, for wisdom for our leaders in the federal, provincial, and local governments, Lord. Help us to obey the rules and keep segregated in this time so we don't spread the germs. Lord, help us to do our little thing, even as we come across others, to stay as the light and the salt of the earth, to give a testimony, Lord, of what you have done for us in our hearts. Saved us by grace, Lord. Help us to have a heart for others, to reach out and even at this time to give a testimony, Lord, as people think of the brevity of life, the death and the dying around us. What is most important, Lord, is to be reconciled to thee. Lord, we pray that even with this wrath that is coming down, that there will be an opportunity to reach out for others to know the truth and to be saved. Lord, we thank you once again for all these things, for your blessings, for your guidance, for thy word, for Jesus Christ suffering on that cross. Even today we think of Palm Sunday and all the suffering Jesus Christ went through for us, all the wrath of God upon him for our sins. Dear God, we thank you for these things, and we pray now that you will bless our service, bless our pastor, give him the right word, Lord. Speak through him. May he glorify and honor thy name. Accept our thanks, dear God. Bless each one that is attending now. For Jesus' sake, amen. Amen. We continue with our second hymn number 437, Loved with Everlasting Love. Thank you. congregational reading now is from Psalm 42. I will read Psalm 42. To the chief musicians, Meshil, for the sons of Korah. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I have gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, with the voice of joy and praise, with the multitude that kept holiday, the day of feast. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonite, from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto God of my life. I will say unto God my rock, Why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning? Because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, Where is thy God? Why art thou cast, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the healer of my countenance and my God. May God bless his holy, inerrant, and infallible word. Now I give the pulpit to our pastor to give the announcements.
Want to welcome you tonight to our evening service. We are webcasting live from Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and we are very thankful that you have been able to tune in tonight. We know that we have had visitors and do have them from all across the globe, and we certainly welcome those either from a local context or those who are overseas. You're very welcome in the Savior's name. This is our live worship service, and I want to encourage you and thank you for your prayers because, you know, when we're engaged in this ministry, it's not a performance. No one here is a professional broadcaster in that sense, and so we are doing our best, and we pray that God will use these times as a real blessing in your own family. We know that many folks are taking these times seriously, gathering with their families and friends, and meeting around the Word of God to worship. And that's our great joy, and we are very thankful for that. I want to say a word of personal thanks on behalf of my wife Jill and myself, because as you will know, we were away traveling down in the States there a few weeks back, visiting family. And when we came home, we were under self-quarantine. That finished last Wednesday for us. And yet we see that things are changing day by day, and more stores and businesses, industries are closing down because of the COVID virus that's upon us. And yet, you know, in all of these matters, sometimes we are just inconvenienced when things happen. And we have to always keep perspective that these things are important, that we follow the laws of the land to the best of our ability, and so it does not hinder the Word of God or the preaching of the Word of God. And I encourage everyone who is involved in keeping themselves apart and keeping the social distance, as we've been hearing about. And I want to pay a word of special tribute tonight again to those in our ministry and our family and friends and people we know who are involved in the medical field. We have nurses, we have those who are doctors, and it's a real blessing to know that these people are committed on the front line, serving their community, serving their neighbors and friends. And we pray for you. We want you to know that. We're very appreciative of what you're doing, and we thank God for you. Want to extend our condolences to the Newell family, especially our sister Grace, because of the passing of her mom this past week. Mrs. Margaret Schenck, well, she has been a longtime member of this congregation, over 40 years. And though not able to attend the services recently because of health, yet she was so faithful over those years, teaching in Sunday school, attending every prayer meeting, supporting the ministry, being involved in whatever she could be. And so we are going to dearly miss her. But we know that she loved the Lord, and she is in the presence of her Savior today. And so we want to extend our deepest sympathy and love to Grace. And there will be a private family graveside service on Tuesday, certainly because there's not allowed to be any more than 10 folks who are allowed to gather at such a time. And this is hard. Hard for those who have to say farewell to a loved one. But it affects so many folks on different fronts. We know that others have planned for weddings, and they have had to be put on hold or something much smaller taking place. And these are all very difficult under this time period. If you would like to receive information about our weekly activities, you can sign up to receive the bulletin. I would encourage you to go to our website at www.torontofpc.ca, and when you're there, you'll be able to see all of the things that are going on, and then also sign up for the weekly bulletin in order to keep abreast on all of the announcements and the things that are happening. We're going to sing another hymn at this time, number 458, Christ Liveth in Me. And normally, this is our offering hymn. And you know, when we are involved in this type of live webcast, and normally the church would be at least reasonably full with people here, it's not easy to conduct the service this way. And I really appreciate the brethren who have helped in leading the services in the past number of weeks. Appreciate Brother Jonathan, who's taking care of the tech side of things, his dear wife Dana, who's been playing the piano for us. And so there are just four of us here in the building, and yet we thank God for the opportunities He has given to us. If you would like to continue in your donations to the church, we would greatly appreciate that for the work of God here. And you have several options. You could mail your offering in to 1600 Nielsen Road in Scarborough, Ontario. And if you would like to use the electronic means, well, we have those instructions available on our website for you. And we would encourage you to follow through with that, as our expenses certainly will continue. May the Lord bless the word of the Lord to you, each one of us tonight. And the format's going to be slightly different. After we sing this hymn, I am going to move from this area and going to be going into the study and sitting at the desk and bringing you the word of the Lord tonight. But it's not recorded as it has been in the past. This is going to be a live service tonight. So Brother Maher is going to come back and lead the hymn here. Thank you. We're thankful that you have tuned in to be with us tonight again, and I would ask you please to turn now in your Bibles to the book of Colossians chapter 1. In the book of Colossians chapter 1, we're going to read some verses there, starting please at verse number 20. Colossians 1 and verse 20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, if ye continue in the faith grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. May the Lord bless his word to your hearts tonight. Let's bow, please, in prayer. Father, as we come now to the Scripture and it is open before us, our prayer is very simple, that the light of the Holy Spirit would be upon us. Lord, I need your grace and your help to be able to speak the word of the Lord faithfully and plainly and clearly, so that no one would misunderstand. Father, we lift our hearts with thanksgiving and joy for all that you've done for us. We know, Lord, that we are not worthy of the least of your mercies, but you have granted to us the very greatest. We have everlasting life. We have the knowledge that our sins have been forgiven. We know we have a home in heaven. And, oh God, we have all this in front of us. And so, no matter what occurs here and now in this life, whether we have abundance or whether we have nothing, whether we are set aside by illness or whether we enjoy good health, Lord, we know that all of these things will one day pass away. But that which will never pass away is the hope that we possess because of Christ Jesus. Lord, hear our prayer tonight. Draw very, very near to us and encourage every heart. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I want to draw your attention tonight to the last phrase in verse 27 of Colossians 1. It says, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Humanity without real hope, it would be like an ocean that does not have any water. Sometimes people speak about having a hope, but it's more akin to wishful thinking than anything else. We're living in a city that is desperate for real hope today, as every day, very sadly, people jump in front of subway trains to end their lives. They overdose on drugs. They drown their sorrows with alcohol, or they fill their minds with pornography. They seek distraction from reality in a thousand different vices. And at the end of it all, there is nothing to satisfy the heart or to relieve the pain. They are left, quite frankly, empty and hopeless. And my friend, if you're listening today to this message, and though you may say to yourself, well, I'm not trapped in any of those vices or those things, yet you still feel there's an emptiness in your heart. There's a void in your life. And you may conclude yourself, well, I'm hopeless. On top of all the other things we've been talking about, the word COVID-19, which has become such a familiar word and I think will be banned from use after all this virus settles down. And yet still, this is a real concern for many people. The ungodly, the unsaved, they become sick and die. Those who are believers in God, who are saved by the grace of God, we also become sick and we die. And so, friend, there may be real fears that you have today. Maybe you will contract this virus. Well, we take all the precautions that we can to be safe and secure, and we want to pray for our families and our friends and our neighbors. We want to do as much as we can. And it may be, friend, that you're also affected by other things going on in life. Maybe you have a relationship that has gone sour. Maybe a husband, a wife. Maybe between a father and a son, or a mother and a daughter. A child that has gone astray. An overwhelming flood of responsibilities. And the fear that all of these things are just coming down on top of you. It may come to a point when you say, I just can't take it anymore. Is there no way out? Is there no way that I can be relieved from this burden? And so from the ordinary person with life struggles to the richest sports celebrity, maybe to the one who's fallen in hard times, you need an answer. Is there hope that will never fail? Is there real lasting hope in this life? I want to tell you tonight with the certainty and on the authority of God's word that the Bible has the answer. And it's not wishful thinking, but it is a certain hope that will stand the test of time and for eternity. And it is this, my friend, it is Christ in you, the hope of glory. I want you to notice with me in the first place tonight, the reality of this hope. Christ in you. Now in our verse, it is referred to as a mystery. In other words, how could such a thing be? How is it that Christ Jesus could come to be inside a man? How could it be that the Son of God could actually live in a person, that the all-powerful God of creation would even consider such a thing is beyond our comprehension. And yet the Apostle Paul says, know ye not that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost, the temple of God the Father, of the Spirit, and of the Son? And no wonder it's called a mystery, one that we will not figure out by our human reason. But my friend, it will only come by divine revelation. It will only come to be accepted by faith. Jesus Christ in you. Now I want you to think with me about the starting place of this. It started before the foundation of this world. It started before even the universe was here, when God the Father made a covenant with His only begotten Son to give Him a people for His own. John tells us about that in chapter 6, verse 37. All that the Father giveth me, Jesus said, shall come to me. Everyone that God the Father has covenanted to give to His Son, they will come to Him. And therefore, the start of all this, it is not with men. It is not by the will of man. But my dear friends, it's by the will of God and by His infinite grace that He has shown toward man. It is termed unconditional grace, and for good reason, because there is no condition that you could fulfill that would warrant or merit you being brought into the family of God. It is unconditional grace because there's nothing that a man can do. It is all of the grace of God tonight. And my friend, with you, this relationship, it starts with a recognition that you need a Savior because you have sinned and you have broken God's holy law. No man can come to God unless, first of all, he realizes that he is a sinner in need of God's salvation. You know, you talk to many people today, and they will say, well, maybe I'm not perfect, but at least I'm not as bad as so-and-so or that person. At least I haven't done this. I'm not a murderer. I haven't done the most horrific crimes in the world. And so every person starts off with the idea of justification of themselves. They're not so bad. But it's not until, friend, you realize that God has given to us a standard of holiness in His Word, the law of God. And all men must live up to that standard in order to be justified by their own righteousness. In other words, a man must be perfect and obeying the law of God perfectly. But when you think about it, the standard is so high, because the standard is a reflection of the holiness of God Himself. And any transgression of the law of God means that God's law is broken. And the breaking of the law requires the punishment of that law being broken. God says in Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 4, the soul that sins, it shall die. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, Paul says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And yet, some men do not see themselves as real sinners, deserving of God's judgment. Jesus said, though, I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. That means, friend, that Jesus has come to give the message of salvation, the message of hope, to you, to me, to every single person that has ever lived on this world, because all have sinned and all have come very far short of the glory of God. You see, in your present state of unbelief, you are without God. And Paul says in Ephesians 2, you are therefore without Christ. And my friend, if you're without God and you're without Christ, you are without hope. And so, the very beginning of this relationship that we are talking about, it is to call upon the Lord that He would be merciful to you, a sinner. This is the only answer to the hopeless condition of your life. And at the cry of your heart, God be merciful to me, a sinner, the Lord will hear. He will hear your prayer. And He will forgive your sin, and He will give you a new heart. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Lord Jesus took our sin upon Him, and He paid the debt that we could never pay. The wrath of God was diverted from us, and it was laid upon Him. My friend, what will you do with this information tonight? You might be gathered in a family. You might be unsaved as a son or a daughter, a brother or sister. You might be an aunt or an uncle. Or maybe some strange way you have tuned into our webcast tonight, and God has this message for you, my friend, and I apply it to you. I am here in Jesus' name, and I would stand before you and come before you in Jesus' name to say, it is time. It is time to repent. It is time to call upon the Lord, because today you must be saved. You must be born again of the Spirit of God. That's what Jesus said to Nicodemus, who was a Jewish ruler. Nicodemus, a man who had followed the Word of God or the law of God, as far as he thought, from his birth. And he wondered, well, what do I need? What more do I need to get to heaven? And yet Jesus told him, Nicodemus, you do need something else. You must be born from above. you must be born again. And once you have received the spiritual rebirth and you have been changed and transformed from the inside out, once you have been brought into union with Christ, it means that you are part of the family of God. In truth, you have been adopted by God. And this cannot be broken and it cannot be undone. This is the truth of Christ in you, the hope of glory. But there is an effect of receiving Christ as Savior. There's an impact in your life for this as well. And really what it boils down to is that you have been recreated. You've been made anew. When a man has received Christ and the Lord Jesus comes into our life spiritually, the immediate effect of Jesus dwelling in us is that we have received His nature. In the book of 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 4, Peter says that we are partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We begin being conformed to Jesus. We're saved by the grace of God, and the Spirit of the Lord begins to do a transforming, a changing work in us by His Spirit's power, so that we are being changed to be made like unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 8, verse 29, it says this, "For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son." And the meaning of this word conformed, it means we are fashioned like unto. We have the same form as another one. Yes, this is what is happening when we are saved. It's what happens when the Spirit of God comes to dwell in us and He is working in our minds. He's working on our wills. He's working on our motives. He's working on our whole man. And there is most definitely a change in our thinking. There's a change in our mind. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16 says, "We have the mind of Christ." If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. And the way we think is changed. You see, when a person is in Christ, they see things differently from when they were out of Christ. It is as distinct or as real as someone being in a room that is completely dark and the light switch is turned on and now everything in the room is illuminated. And the pictures on the wall and the decorations and the furniture, you can see everything now, whereas before it was total darkness. And my friend, when you are brought into Christ, your mind is opened and you can see things as you never saw them before, because we have the mind of Christ. And one aspect of that mind being in us is that we will take on the humble spirit that Christ had. In Philippians 2, verses 5 to 8, it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Think of it. The Son of God, God Himself. He leaves the glory of heaven and comes down to earth to be born in a manger in Bethlehem, to humble Himself, to take on human flesh. And He lived among sinful men and women. And He went all the way to the cross of Calvary. And there, my friend, He suffered and He bled and He died for you and for me, that we might have life, that we might be able to be born of the Spirit of God, that we will be changed and conformed into the image of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we will have Christ-likeness, the mind of the Lord, the spirit of humility. The verse of Scripture that I left with our congregation at the beginning of this year, our motto text, was taken from Micah 6, verse 8. Listen to these words. "What doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. This is the whole duty of man, because as we pursue the Lord Jesus Christ and his way and his mind and his heart, and then we will walk humbly as he is. And you know, our attitude will be changed. Our attitude towards sin will be changed. William Cowper, the hymn writer, he wrote, "I hate the sins that made thee mourn and drove thee from my breast." You see, our attitude toward sin would be changed once we come to Christ. At one time, we enjoyed sin. But when a person is saved by the grace of God, it doesn't mean that we will never sin again. But it does mean this. It means that we become hateful toward those sins. It means that we despise those things that grieve our spirits and grieve the Spirit of God. And yes, we are imperfect, and yes, we stumble and fall. But when we do, we cry out to the Lord, "Oh Lord, please forgive us for our sin. Please have mercy, Lord, and wash us clean, because we have stumbled and fallen." And we grieve the Spirit of God, and we pray, "Lord, do not let us fall down into that sinful behavior or practice again." Our attitude toward the world changes. At one time, quite frankly, we love the things of the world. We love the ways of the world. We love the sins of the world. We love the vanity of the world. But when we come to Christ, those things are different. At one time, you might have gone and been involved in the nightlife or the bar life, going to all the things of the world where it just is full of sin and iniquity. But when you come to Jesus, those things are turned from us, because we are made new. We are made new creations in the Lord Jesus. All things become new, because our minds have been changed and our attitudes have been changed. And our approach toward the very gospel, of course, has been changed, because we now love the things we once hated. And we love the gospel. We love the Lord Jesus. And the change of heart that has taken place is because now we have the heart of the Lord Jesus. And the things that He wants are the things that we want in our life. Because, Christian, I say this to you, if you truly have received the Lord Jesus in your heart, you don't want to grieve the Lord. You don't want to do anything that's going to dishonor the Savior. You say, "Lord, I want to love the same things that you love. I want to love the same people that you love. I want to have the same love for my Heavenly Father that my Savior has, the same love for sinners." Oh, may God stamp that upon us, because we know that God is love. And our prayer would be that the mirroring of the love of Jesus would be very much in our hearts. And so, friends, tonight so far, we have been thinking first of all about Jesus Christ in you, the reality of hope. And the second thing I leave with you tonight is this: Christ in you, the reward of hope. And what does that mean? What is this reward of hope that we're talking about? Well, verse 5 of chapter 1 speaks of the hope that is laid up for you in heaven. The hope laid up for you in heaven. That is the glory that awaits the saved sinner when we leave this world. Oh, we've been thinking tonight about the departure of Margaret Schenck, this saint, this faithful believer. 40 years a member of this church, but many more years before that a member of the body of Christ, for she came to the Lord Jesus many years before that. And all today, she is not here anymore in body, but her spirit has gone to be with God, which is far better. That is the hope for every saved sinner. That's the joy that you and I have. That's the reason we need not fear death. Oh, we may not look forward to the way we're going to die, but death itself, friend, is but a transition time from earth to glory. You know, sometimes we might wonder what heaven is really going to be like. There are some descriptions in the Bible, and as we think upon those and we try to develop those thoughts, but really we don't fully know or have any full idea of what heaven will be like. And trying to describe that, well, it might be similar to a blind person trying to describe a beautiful work of art or describing the wonder of the Grand Canyon. In that sense, all of us, we see through a glass darkly. Our eyesight is dim when it comes to heaven because we have not been there. But the Scripture has ample words to speak of its glory and of its excellence. It is a place of unspeakable peace and tranquility, where the elect of God live with one another in the immediate presence of God and of the Lord Jesus, the Lamb. We will behold Him in all His glory. Face to face shall I behold Him. And the fulfillment of Romans chapter 8 and verse 29 will then be seen. We will be completely conformed to the image of Christ. That has been God's purpose for us from eternity. He wants us to be like Jesus, perfect in holiness. And heaven, you know, it'll be a place where the curse of sin and all of its effects have been removed forever from all who dwell there. They receive, all of us, the riches of Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul says in the book of Ephesians that there is laid up for us in heaven, in the place where we have a seat of righteousness in glory for us, a place with the Savior. And we will then have received all of the inheritance that God has given to His people. We are joint heirs with Jesus. We will be like Him, and we will see Him as He is. There, my friends, we will live with unmixed joy, in a state of perfect happiness, incapable of being described or exaggerated, heaven, because it will be forever and forever. There will be no sin there, no tears, no bitterness, no anxiety, no warfare, no COVID-19. All will be gone. It is called the kingdom of God in Acts 14:22, which far outweighs the glory of every earthly kingdom and all of them combined. This is a heavenly kingdom where Christ Jesus is the King. Why is it worthwhile for us to consider heaven? Well, I suggest to you it's worthwhile because it is our promised eternal home. When the Lord Jesus was nearing the time of His departure and He was speaking to His disciples in John 14, He said this to them. He said, "I go to prepare a place for you." What did He mean by that? He meant that when He was going to leave this earth, He was going to glory in order to make preparation. It's hard for us to fathom exactly what that means. But Jesus was going that He would make ready for all of His people that would be joining Him one day. Heaven is our eternal home. It's the promised place for us. That's why it's good for us to think upon it and dwell upon it and to think of the hope that is set in front of us. It's good for us to think about glory and heaven also because it gives comfort to believers in times of great trial. Yes, trials come. Some people think that once you become a Christian that you won't have any more difficulties in life. Well, they have never lived as a Christian because that is not the way it is. In fact, it's when you become a Christian that you will know the reality of the existence of a devil and of Satan's attack against you. You will know the turmoil and the struggle against sin. You will know all of those hardships. Yes, they are in the life of every believer. But you know, when we have Jesus Christ in the vessel of our lives, in our ship as we are sailing through this life, we know that He is with us and we look to glory in heaven and we will we will look with anticipation. This is our home. This is where we are going. And therefore, let all of the issues of this life be put into their place, for our light afflictions, which are but for a moment, they work for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. You know that many martyrs facing death, they have been spurred on to stand strong for the Lord, knowing that in a very short time they will be with their Savior. Ah, but heaven, it is good for us to think about it, my friend, because we shall be freed from sin itself. Our sinful nature that so plagues us and so debilitates us from being what we want to be for our Lord, and it stops us from serving the Lord the way we want to. It stops us from being the Christian that we know we need to be. Our sinful nature, the old nature, is still within us as long as we live on this earth, but in glory, that will be all gone. And therefore, there will be no more temptations from the devil. Oh, Satan is a master at planting a seed or a thought in our minds. The devil cannot make us sin, but he certainly knows how to place a temptation before us. But in glory, that will all be taken away, and we will not have to suffer or put up with all the evil that is in the world around us, the injustice, the murders, the abortions that continue on. And even among all this upset of COVID, there are still some places that are saying that abortion is an essential service. The madness of it all, the killing of the innocent, the evil is in the world. You know, friends, sin is the cause of all the misery that is in the world today. And sin is the reason that we experience the pain and sorrow and sickness and even death. And Paul mourned over sin, and he expressed in the very strongest language his desire to be rid of it. He said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who will set me free? Who will deliver me from the body of this death?" The true child of God, well, we long to be where sin will be no more, a place where we will never commit another sin, a place where we will never, ever have another sinful thought. Physical death, you know, which opens the door into eternity, is also one of the consequences of sin. But death is swallowed up in victory by what Jesus Christ has done in rising from the dead, so that the child of God can boldly say, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" We are told, my friends, to lay up treasures in heaven, to serve God now while we have time and opportunity, to serve God by loving Him, to serve God by obeying Him, to serve God by loving our neighbors as ourselves, and to be a good and a bright testimony. Let me ask you tonight, friend, are you trusting in Jesus? Is He your Savior? Let me encourage you to call upon Him now, where you are sitting, where you are just now. Say, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." And for every child of God, every true believer, my, fasten your attention upon this great verse of Scripture, Colossians 1, verse 27. "For it is Jesus Christ in you that is your hope of glory." Bow with me, please, in a word of prayer. Our loving Father and our gracious God, we are so humble tonight and thankful for the word of truth, for the Spirit of the Lord that has brought this truth to our hearts. When we were yet in our sins, Christ died for us. While we were yet in the darkness of our sinful minds, the Spirit of God awakened us, showed us the wonder of Calvary, the wonder of Jesus, and He gave us faith to embrace the Lord and to believe in Him with all our hearts. Oh God, we will never tire of praising
your holy name for what you've done to us. We will never exhaust all of our praises to our great God. We pray that tonight your Spirit will do a deep work, a saving work, a work of encouragement, a work of building up. Lord, we're thankful tonight that we know him and we love him. So go with every one of us. Keep us safe, Lord, from the virus, from the illnesses that are all around us. Help us to be a living testimony and a witness in our day and time. And we pray that the Holy Spirit will go with us tonight. Hear this, our prayer. We ask in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Thank you, my dear friends, for being with us tonight. And we pray that you will pay attention to the website and receive the instruction for joining our prayer meeting on Wednesday night. If you are able, we might unite our hearts in prayer and then be with us the next Lord's Day for our webcasting services at 11 in the morning and 6:30 in the evening. May the Lord bless you.